You're listening to episode 325 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast. I'm your host, Dr. April Seifert. On this podcast, we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Building Psych Strength podcast. My name is Dr. April and I'm your host. We are officially into December. That's amazing. It's actually really insane if you think about it. This year has just gone by incredibly quickly, it feels like. And with December coming and being here comes the end of the year, and the end of the year brings ideas and thoughts and plans and goals for New Year's resolutions. Love them or hate them, so many of us look to the new year as a time to make changes in our lives, to develop better habits, to get rid of ones that are just sticky that maybe aren't serving us anymore. Habit change is such an important topic in the field of psychology because, unbeknownst to us most of the time, the majority of our behavior, whether it's outward behavior that we, you know, act out, or whether it's internal behavior in the form of cognition, so much of it is driven by habits. And so today, I wanted to dive into the habit change literature a little bit. Specifically, I want to talk about some tips for habits that I'm going to call subtractive habits. This is where you want to get rid of a behavior, maybe a behavior that isn't healthy for you or one that isn't serving you. I'll give you some tips for that. I also want to give you some tips for additive habits. So what do we do when we want to start something new? Maybe you want to start exercising or you want to start doing something that's more healthy or better for you. I'll give you some tips for that as well. And then finally, I'm going to talk about an incredibly insane resource that we have for you coming up right away in January to help you kick off 2022 as one of the best years of your life. And I can't wait to tell you about it. So stay tuned. We'll dive in just a second. Okay, so habit change. Let's talk about this and let's start with the foundation. Let's start with what a habit is. A habit actually consists of a few pieces. There is a desired outcome that we want. It could be a feeling. Typically, it's a feeling. It could be a desired physical state. Ultimately, there is an outcome that we're after. And there is a trigger that reminds us of that outcome. And then there's a behavior that we enact in order to get that outcome. So trigger happens, behavior happens, outcome happens, or think reward happens. So habits have these three pieces: a trigger, a behavior, and a reward or an outcome. And it's important to think about that because I mentioned in the introduction that so many of our both external and our internal behaviors are run by habits. So let's talk about what I mean by that. I mentioned that there is this reward or this outcome that we're after, and a trigger reminds us of that reward. That's important because our mind has this incredible ability, this incredible evolutionary ability to form associations. I've talked about this a lot on the podcast in the past and in past episodes. So our mind learns that when a trigger is present, we're going to get into what that means in just a second. When a trigger is present, that signals, yep, I want this reward. I want that thing, or that reward is possible to get. And the behavior that we insert in between that trigger and the reward are what helps us get the reward. Now, it's important to think about what we mean when we say association. Through repeated pairings of the trigger and that reward, we learn that whenever that trigger is present, we start to crave that reward. So let's talk about this in a way that is a little bit more concrete. I've had a couple people in my life who were lifelong smokers who they've wanted to change and it's so difficult to change. One of the reasons why, and this goes for all habits, not just smoking or other, you know, unhealthy habits like that, but like habits in general, our behavior in general, once it's become habituated, it's really difficult for us to change because of these associations. So if you think about one particular person in my life who was a smoker, whenever she got in her car, she started to crave the calm sensation that typically a cigarette would bring. And this through repeated pairings of getting in her car, smoking a cigarette, and experiencing that calm sensation, she started to crave that calm sensation every single time she got in her car. And in order to get that calm sensation, she would smoke. And the more times we repeat and reinforce, getting in the car means I want to feel calm. Getting in the car means I want to feel calm. And we enact a behavior that allows us to feel that way, the more habituated that behavior becomes. I'll give another example. You know, so many of us, after work, we have that glass of wine or that drink right at the end of the night. There's something about the evening time, and maybe dinners, you're winding down after dinner, you've put the dishes away, you know, there's that lull at the end of the night, and we come to crave, again, a feeling, the calmness, the winding down of what that drink gives us. The evening comes, we crave the winding down. The evening comes, we crave the winding down, and we reinforce the fact that we can get that winding down by having a drink. We do this over and over again. The more times we repeat it, the stronger it becomes. So habits happen because our mind naturally forms associations between triggers and outcomes. It knows when these circumstances are here, which again, we'll dig into them in a minute. When these circumstances are here, I can expect an outcome. I can reliably get an outcome that I want. And that's so hard to break because we're talking about evolutionarily adaptive stuff here. Some of the best, most reliable, most cognitively easy and lightweight stuff, the most amazing stuff that our mind can do relies on the same mechanisms that habits rely on, that these negative habits that sometimes we want to get rid of, that those rely on. So the first thing I want you to know is that if you're in this position where you're like, oh, New Year's Eve is coming, I want to make some changes, I want to get rid of these bad habits, I want to put these, you know, good ones in place, you're not alone, and you are not alone in finding it very difficult to change your own behavior. It's hard because we are hardwired for it to be hard. It's not hard because somehow you're weak or you lack willpower. That's absolutely debunked. There's not good data to support that. In contrast, it's hard because our minds are hardwired to hold on to associations and habits once they're formed. That's the whole basis for neuroplasticity, right? Our minds rewire themselves to make behaviors that we do really often super easy and frictionless. And that's ultimately what habits are. So habits are a trigger, which leads us to desire an outcome. So we do a behavior in order to get that outcome. And they're really hard to change because our minds are so good at relying on associations. So with that setup, I want to talk a little bit about two types of habits that you might be thinking about making changes to as the year is coming to an end and as the new year comes. Now, before I get into that, I want to say one quick thing about New Year's resolutions. Sometimes people kind of roll their eyes at them. They think New Year's resolutions are dumb or, people always fail at them, whatever. I don't care. I don't care if it's a New Year's resolution that is what it's taking for you to make the changes in your life that you want to make. Great. If that's the motivation that kickstarts this journey for you, that's amazing. Let's do it. I mean, it's as good of a reason as any. I mean, maybe it's Tuesday, maybe it's New Year's Eve, maybe, you know, it's warm outside, who cares? Whatever the set of circumstances is that leads you to feel like, yep, this is a time for me to give it a shot, that's as good as anything else for me. So awesome. Let's make it New Year's Eve. I love it. So again, two types of habits I want to talk about today. The first one is what I'm calling subtractive habits. These are habits where you want to get rid of a behavior, and typically they are things that are not that great for us. Maybe you are drinking more than you want to drink. Maybe you're smoking. Maybe you are eating unhealthy foods late at night. Maybe you are yelling at your kids when you don't want to. It could be any number of things. Maybe you are criticizing yourself internally, right? Behaviors can happen internally as well. Whatever it is that is not serving you that you want to stop doing, that's what I would call a subtractive habit. And I want to start by giving you a few tips for changing subtractive habits. Now, there was a reason why I started by dissecting what a habit is, right? Trigger, behavior, reward. Because one of the first things you need to think about when you are going to change a subtractive habit or get rid of a behavior that's not serving you is you need to do a little bit of sleuthing, a little bit of detective work to understand that habit at its component parts. What are the triggers that lead you to crave the reward? What is that reward? And what's the behavior that you ultimately do to get that reward? And I want to break it down like this because a lot of times people will focus only on the behavior. Oh, I want to stop drinking. I want to stop smoking. I want to stop yelling at my kids. I want to stop eating a bunch of snacks at 9:30 p.m. or whatever it happens to be. They focus on that behavior. Ultimately, that behavior is not the most important part. Remember, your mind runs on associations. What I want you to focus on instead are the two parts that are not the behavior. I want you to focus on the trigger, and I want you to focus on the reward that you get, the association between the trigger and your craving for that reward. So let's deep dive. I told you we would dive into what triggers are. You can think about triggers in terms of the W questions that you learned maybe in a journalism class in high school or college or whatever, the who, what, when, where, why. Yeah, we'll stop there. Who, what, when, where, why. In our situation, in our environment typically, and this can be external and internal environment, so in our minds sometimes, certain circumstances can be triggering of a habit. Think about who. So let's say you want to stop drinking as much. Pay attention to when you feel the urge to drink. Who's around you at that time? Do you notice over the course of a couple of weeks, you could start now and map this out for the remainder of the month of December. Who is around you when you feel the urge to drink? Do you notice that is this? It's the same person, same people, same types of people? Do you start to notice that maybe there is a person who could be triggering for you that makes you crave the reward for drinking? It makes you crave wanting to drink. So who? What? Is there a thing, a physical thing in your environment that triggers you? Is it when you see a bottle of wine? Is it when you see, you know, your beverage fridge or when you see your refrigerator? Is that when it happens? What in your environment might be triggering of that desire to drink or that desire for the response that drinking provides? So who, what, when? Temporally, we had talked about this like idea of having a drink to wind down at night. Is it a time of the day? So is it, you know, after your kids have gone to bed, after you've cleaned up after dinner and the evening sort of winds down and hits that lull point, is it a when that's a trigger? So who, what, when, where? Are you in a particular place? Is it when you walk into your kitchen? Is it when you are, going to wash your face at night that maybe that triggers it? So who, what, when, where, and then why? This is a good cue for internal cues. Do you feel anxious? Do you feel bored? Do you feel excited or happy? That one's kind of a strange one, but for me, my urge to have a glass of wine is very much triggered in a celebratory way, I've noticed. So map out what those triggers are. Who, what, when, where, why. Take a couple of weeks where you change nothing, but literally you're just tuning into yourself and paying attention to what's happening around you when you feel that urge. And pro tip, lots of times, the stronger the habit, the more triggers kind of coalesce into one situation. So maybe it's a person, a time of day, a location, and a particular item in your environment, a what in your environment. So pay attention to that, map that out. What are those triggers? Now pay attention to the reward. What are you craving? This is so individual for people. Again, when I get the urge to have a glass of wine or when I get the urge to have a beer, 9 times out of 10, I've noticed it's not to avoid anxiety. It's celebratory. Something exciting happened that day and I want to like throw gas on that fire and ride that wave. Maybe for you, you feel nervous or anxious about something. Maybe you have a big project looming or your mind wanders onto something that you've been worrying about and that triggers it. And the reward is getting rid of that anxious feeling. Whatever the case may be for you, I want you to pay attention to that reward. So what are the triggers in your environment and what's the reward? Once you have that mapped out, you're in a much better position to change a subtractive habit because one, you know when the urge is coming, you know the triggers to look for, and you can kind of be on top of things and be ready for it when it happens. So the more specific you can get about your triggers, the better. Two, the second tip I'll give you is that can you, now that you know the reward that you're after, can you think of another way to get yourself the reward? The behavior is a means to an end. The behavior is the one that you typically go to. So I keep harping on drinking, whatever, insert your behavior of choice here. Your behavior is what gets you the means to the end. Can you find another means to that end instead of the behavior that you're trying to get rid of? And then the third one is a subtle one. We've talked a lot on this podcast about how we can't get rid of thoughts, right? You can't quote unquote silence your inner critic. You can't get rid of anxious thoughts. You can't get rid of worrying. It just happens. That's what our mind does. It just creates thoughts and lots of times they're negative. In the case of habits, you can't really get rid of, like the trigger happens and you immediately think, I want to have a drink, right? It happens so automatically. And what we find in literature, and this is in the anxiety literature, depression literature, like across the board, the more we focus on a thought, even if that focus is to get rid of the thought, the more we focus on it, the stronger that thought becomes. Because our attention and where we put it is what tells our mind, give me more of that. So the more you're focused, I'm going to keep going with drinking because this is just the example that I'm using. But the more you're focused on, don't think about drinking, don't think about drinking, don't think about drinking. Here's the triggers. Here they are. April told me to map them out. I did. And here I am in the situation. Don't think about drinking. Don't think about drinking. All you're doing is shining your attentional spotlight on the thing that you're trying to avoid. And it makes it so much harder. So instead of trying to avoid that thought, I want you to think about how might you dilute that thought out by intentionally thinking about something else that you would like to put in its place. So I mentioned, you know, drinking as a behavior is a means to an end. What is the thing you're going to do instead of drinking? So when you find yourself, you're anticipating it, right? Okay, it's getting close to 9:30 p.m. I know right around that time I get this urge. Here it comes. I'm going to have a cup of tea. I'm going to go take a bubble bath. I want you to think about focusing on something that you're going to do instead of focusing on the thing that you don't want to be thinking about or you don't want to do. Focus on replacing that behavior and diluting out the thoughts with an intentional thought of a different type, right? So instead of the evening is coming, I want a drink. It's the evening is coming. I'm going to take a bubble bath. Your mind is still going to squawk at you in the background. Yeah, but don't you want to have a glass of wine while you're in the bubble bath? Your point is, I want you to dilute that out so that those thoughts aren't as strong. the more you do that, the better chance you have over time of being able to act in a way that is against the thoughts that are fueling that subtractive habit you're trying to get rid of. So focus on defining your triggers, understanding your outcome, replacing the behavior, and being more additive about it. Like, what am I going to do instead? Focus on that. So those are some tips for subtractive habits. Now I want to flip the script and I want to talk about additive habits. These are like, I want to start going to the gym. I want to start eating more salads. I want to start meditating. I want to start whatever it happens to be, the thing that you want to add to your life. We've already talked about the importance of triggers and outcomes. You can use that same framework to help you add a behavior in. So think about things that are triggering. You can use your mind's natural tendency to create associations by setting up the situation where associations are likely to form. Do something at the exact same time every single day. Have a cue, a physical cue that reminds you of it. Chain that behavior to something that's already a habit. So I want to take vitamins in the morning. I want to remember to take my multivitamin. Set it right next to your toothbrush so that you take your, you brush your teeth, you're used to doing that, and you chain the multivitamin to your toothbrush. So you're using your mind's natural tendency to create associations, and you're sort of forcing an association to happen. The more you can create triggers that become associated with that outcome, the better. And now I want to talk about outcome. I want to talk about reward. You're more likely to do a behavior that leads to a positive reward, an immediate positive reward. So if going to the gym is not immediately positive for you, I want you to find a way to make it that way. Maybe you allow yourself, you go to the gym, you work out for 20 minutes in the beginning, and the next 20 minutes that, you know, say you were going to work out for an hour, the next 20 minutes you spend it sitting in the hot tub at the gym. Or you take a really warm, luxurious shower afterward. You do something that is immediately gratifying so that, again, you're forming an association between the triggers that you were kind of manufacturing in the beginning and the positive outcome that you immediately get. The behavior is just what happens in between there. So additive behaviors or additive habits use the same framework that subtractive habits have, except you're building those building blocks sort of in an artificial way in the beginning. It's going to feel clunky. You're going to mess up. You're going to forget. Like, it's just going to be difficult in the beginning. But the more you can continue to associate these triggers with that outcome that I want, and this behavior is how I get it. These triggers, look, there are my clothes. It's the morning time. I'm going to go to the gym so that I can sit in the hot tub. The more that you can do that and chain that trigger with the behavior and the outcome that you get from it, the better. Okay, so that's what habits are, why they're so hard to change, what to do with subtractive habits, and what to do with additive habits. And now I have a giant gift for you. I mentioned you likely heard an ad at the beginning of this episode for an online summit that Peak Mind has been doing with, or has put together with the Heart Mind Institute and Wisdom for Life. Day 3 of this summit is all about the science of creating new habits. It is amazing. If you're at all interested in changing your habits for the new year, whether it's a subtractive habit or an additive habit, you are not going to want to miss day 3 of this summit. I mentioned how this is a 10-day summit. There are over 45 world-renowned teachers, psychologists, visionaries, like the most sought-after people in the world. I am geeking out interviewing some of these people. I can't even handle it. These guys are coming on to teach you the best of the best, anything from life purpose and vision, health and well-being, mindset and performance, financial health, relationships. Like I mentioned, day 3 is the science of creating new habits. You are not going to want to miss that summit. If you missed the URL at the beginning of this episode, it is peakmindpsychology.com/best year. You can go and sign up and you'll get enrolled for free in this 10-day online summit with 45 of the world's most famous, incredible people. They're so amazing. So head over to peakmindpsychology.com/best year, or just click the link down in this episode description, sign up. I would love to see you there. I'm just dying. I'm so excited that we got to be a part of this. All right, guys. So habit change, not for the faint of heart. It is possible. And I hope some of these tips helped. Think about how you might change both subtractive and additive habits. And I have a few more resources for you in the last bit of this episode. So stick around. Okay, so you've decided you are going to dive in. You're going to change some habits this year. You're going to, you know, get rid of some subtractive habits. Add some additive habits. You're going to do the hard work. You're going to make it happen. And I want to give you a few more resources. The first one is that I'm just going to say again, go to peakmindpsychology.com/best year and sign up for the summit. That is the number one resource that I can throw in front of you right now, because not only will it help you with habit change, but it'll help with so many other things that will literally catapult you into 2022. So sign up for that summit. Link is in this episode description, so just swipe up on your device and sign up. The second thing that I want to mention is, again, in the link of this in this episode description, I've linked to a whole slew of habit change resources in the Peak Mind Vault. These are all resources that are podcast interviews, blog posts, I mean, videos, so many things that help you think about how to make changes to your habits in this coming year. So you can click into that link and get access to, I mean, there's a dozen or more different resources in the vault right now with incredible information. If this is a change that you want to make, all of it's absolutely free. So I would encourage you, if this is something that you're struggling with or something that you want to do, click in and get that set of resources. You guys, this year has been another doozy. We have been in almost 2 years of a pandemic now. Somehow we are still marching forward and striving to be the best that we possibly can be. I'm so thrilled that you are all here. I'm so grateful for this community, increasingly so, more than I can even describe. Thank you guys so much for being here. I just really appreciate it. And I hope these habit change resources have helped you think about what you might do with your year coming up. And finally, let's remember that time is the most non-renewable resource on the planet, and I'm so grateful to each and every one of you who chose to spend some of your precious time with me today. I'm Dr. April Seifert, and I'll see you next week, and I hope to see you at the Best Year of Your Life Summit.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.